You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
We want to continue our discussion about not just the Occupy Wall Street movement and the protests, but the aims and I guess the demands of them. And they're not always clear, but their anger seems to be clear. It seems to be about corporate greed and the feeling that the very banks that helped cause the financial crisis and then accepted billions in taxpayer bailouts are now refusing to modify loans, for example, or issue credit or reduce their
fees. Well, no, it's about that guy in the story that Ben got. I mean, there's a knife edge. People are on the edge of something. And whether you're talking about the protesters or people out in America, I think that's valid. I think that's real.
I absolutely agree. But I'm also there are also people who have very specific demands in terms of what they want to see from banks. They're not all the same. Some people say they want to see some bankers go to jail. That may be in one stream part of the spectrum. But many of them say they want to get the money out of politics and the politics out of money. It's been a lot in time since economics have really been this central to the American conversation. And I guess it kind of made us wonder how well the average American really understands capitalism, the economic system under which we function. So we're joined now by Roger Martin. He's going to help us explain that and understand it, the dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto and author of the book Fixing the Game, Bubbles, Crashes, and What Capitalism Can Learn from the NFL. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. You know, let me just ask you about capitalism as an economic system. You know, from everything that I can understand, we can't even agree on exactly what capitalism is.
Sure. I think there are some confusing aspects of capitalism for the average American. I think they understand what I call the real market, companies producing real products and selling them for real money and making a real profit. That they understand well. But they don't understand well, and I don't blame them because it's very confusing, the expectations market, which is the stock market. And in that market, there are people betting on what they think will happen in the future. And that market has gotten increasingly complex and increasingly distant from the real market, so much so that I think Americans say, I don't know what those people on Wall Street are doing, but I can't really relate.
Okay, we're speaking with Roger Martin, dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto, and your book is called Fixing the Game, Bubbles, Crashes, and What Capitalism Can Learn from the NFL. So let's just talk a little bit about what capitalism can learn, either from the NFL or any other place. Is a market, a free market, is central to the precepts of capitalism, is it not?
It is, having markets where producers can come into markets and produce a new product that serves customers well. That's all incredibly important to economic prosperity. But having a stock market where the CEOs of those companies in the real market are given incentives to get their stock price up means they're going to focus on the expectations market and focus on shaping investors' views of what might happen in the future rather than focusing on what customers of their company really need and want and serving those customers. And that's what's changed in the last 30 years when CEOs started to get heavy stock-based compensation and they could make infinitely more money if their stock price went up, as opposed to make more money by serving their consumers well. There's been this shift that's caused them to do many more highly speculative things. And bank CEOs have the same problem, and so bank CEOs were getting stock-based compensation, and they were focusing on what can we do to keep our stock price going up, how can we keep expectations about our performance rising forever, and they started doing incredibly risky things that have severely damaged our economy now.
Well, you're talking about a business model that's moved away from creating a product that people want and will buy lots of into what sounds like, I guess, when you talk about gaming, fixing the game or gaming the system, it sounds a little bit like gambling.
It absolutely is. I mean, if you think about the famous now famous Abacus transaction that Goldman Sachs created, the investment bank Goldman Sachs created for hedge fund John Paulson and a couple of European banks, it was simply a gamble. Literally, they picked a bunch of collateralized mortgage securities and made another bet on top of those. So what's it called? A synthetic CDO, right? Synthetic collateralized debt obligation. No wonder nobody can understand this. It was an imaginary product that they simply made a bet on. Is this product going to go up or down in value? And that's what Goldman Sachs got fined $550 million for, creating a game that has no utility to the economy whatsoever, and created $1 billion of losses in a German bank. You know, what, that's now part of the European problem of all these banks being undercapitalized.
It was a bubble that popped. We're speaking with Roger Martin, the dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. So it sounds like the solution you're suggesting is to return to the customer's always right, return to customers first.
Absolutely. Return the focus to consumers, serving those customers. And one thing that I think we just simply cannot allow and should have never allowed in the first place is for bank CEOs and other bank executives to be given stock-based compensation, because the banks are so central to the functioning of the economy. If we've got them focusing on how can I create expectations that are going to keep going up forever, and I'll do whatever it takes, no matter how risky it is, we're going to get another a bubble like this. And I think we can all agree that we can't take another one, right? There are 70 years between the third last and second last bubble, right? 1929 to 2001.
Right.
There were 7 years between the last two. That frequency is devastating to the economy, and so I think it's absolutely essential that we get companies back to the thing that America understands completely, which is serving customers, making real money, and that can be done, no problem.
Roger Martin, Dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto, author of Fixing the Game, Bubbles, Crashes, and What Capitalism Can Learn from the NFL. Roger, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure, Celeste.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.